So one of the fastest growing religions in the United States, according to the Pew Research poll, actually started out of the countercultural movement of the 60s. It's a religion in the United States, and it's actually not a religion at all. It first popped up in the countercultural movement of the 60s, like I said, but it wasn't given a name until Sven Erlandsson wrote a book about it and gave it a name in the 2000s. It's called SBNR. SBNR. It stands for spiritual but not religious. Spiritual but not religious. Have you met any people in your life that are spiritual but not religious? They love to talk about God and spiritual things, but they don't want to join a church. They don't want to get involved in a movement of Christianity. I'm sure you've met these people. They don't like Christianity or any of the historic religions, but they have a deep desire to pray and to connect with spiritual things. One minister said this: they characterize the SBNR worldview as a product of secular American consumer culture, far removed from community. And this person said, right smack in the bland majority of people who find ancient religions dull, but find themselves uniquely fascinating. They find ancient religions dull, but they find themselves uniquely fascinating. James Martin, a Jesuit priest, called the SBNR lifestyle plain old laziness, stating that spirituality without religion can become a self-centered complacency divorced from the wisdom of a community. SBNR, spiritual but not religious. Whenever I think about these people, I can't help but think about 2 Chronicles 7, where Solomon is dedicating the temple and all the people come around and the presence of God fills the temple and consumes the offering. And it is so bright and powerful that the priests can't even come into the temple. They have to bow down and face the temple out of fear. Or maybe when Moses sees the presence of God and God says, you have to take off your shoes for you're standing on holy ground. Spiritual but not religious. I would say to a person that is spiritual but not religious, be very, very careful about the spirituality that you pursue. Because not every spirit out there is a benevolent spirit. Not every spirit out there is looking for your best interest. And if you're going to be spiritual, but not religious, be very, very careful, because there are forces out there that want to consume you and want to kill you and want to lead you astray. So be very, very careful about the spirit. Be careful about being spiritual, but not religious. We're going to talk about the spirit today as we continue in our Bible study on the book of Galatians. Now we're in chapter 3, and I encourage you to bring your Bible and to mark in the margin if you'd like to. And we're going to really start at chapter 3, verse 1. Because the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is good. And Christians should want to desire that gift more than anything else. And that's what we're going to look at today. How to get the Holy Spirit, how to treat the Holy Spirit, how not to get the Holy Spirit. And to talk about that, I'd like to just dig in on chapter 3, verse 1, because Paul talks about this. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who is bewitching you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith?" Did you receive the works of the Spirit by works? Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? And what Paul's going to tell us, what he lays out for us in chapter 3, is that the law never brings about the Spirit. The law only brings death and destruction. It can't bring the Spirit. And Paul's going to prove it to us. Luther would say that the law only kills. But that's only part of it. Listen to what Paul says later on in verse 10. He says, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" So this is what Paul says. The law cannot give you the Spirit because the law has to be followed perfectly. And no one can follow the perfect law. We've all been cursed since Adam, and none of us can follow the law. So since we can't follow the law perfectly, we're cursed, and the Spirit cannot dwell within us. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying that's not fair, but that's God's law. He's the one that wrote it. He's the one that set up the rules. Had an interesting conversation with our early childhood director over the summer. Did you know this? Probably didn't know this because I didn't know this. When people smoke in Arizona today, there's a huge tax put on cigarettes. And this tax goes to the state, and the whole state economy is taking this tax, and they're funneling it into early childhood programming. And so there's a lot of different programs set up to use this tobacco tax to make life better for early childhood. And as part of this, you can, as an early childhood center, you can apply to go after a quality rating. And based upon the quality rating of the early childhood center, you can get money from this tobacco tax. And so last year, our early childhood went after a rating and got a 3-star rating, which was very good. This year, they got a 4-star rating, which is really, really good. Because very few centers actually get a 4-star rating, and very, very, very few centers get a 5-star rating. But our center probably will never get a 5-star rating. And the reason is, well, there's a number of reasons, but one of the ones that struck me is that when they came into the center, they saw the Bible sitting there, and they said, that is inappropriate literature for children because it has violence in it. And so David slaying Goliath or any of the other violent stories in the Bible are going to prevent or be part of the prevention of our early childhood center getting a 5-star rating because there's violence. Or another one was this, when the children would meet together for lunch and they would pray for lunch, they had to wait longer than 30 seconds to get their food, which apparently is a violation of the state standard for how long children are allowed to wait before they have food, because you can only let a child have 30 seconds. For those of you who are letting your children wait 31 seconds before they get their food, you are just really not following the state standard very well, just so you know. Now, I bring this up because the state makes the rules. And if the state makes the rules, they get to decide what is in and what's out and what's part of the rules. And the same thing is true with God. God makes the rules. We have to follow His rules. He's the one that made them. We have to follow His rules perfectly. And if we don't follow His rules perfectly, then we can't get the Spirit by being good. On last week, the Spider-Man movie came out. Have you seen the Spider-Man movie yet? Yeah, okay, well, it's really, really good. I really enjoyed it. Spider-Man, as you know, is my favorite superhero of all time. I love Spider-Man, and I love having my spider senses tingle. And I went to see the movie, and I won't spoil the movie for you, but Spider-Man wants to become part of the Avengers, right? He wants to be an Avenger. But in order to be an Avenger, you have to follow the Avenger rules. And Spider-Man doesn't necessarily want to follow the Avenger rules. But you got to follow the rules of the person who's in charge of the rules. There's no other way. God is in charge of the rules. God says, if you want to come and be near me, if you want my Spirit to dwell upon you, and you want to do it by following the rules, you must follow my rules perfectly. 100%. Never once do something wrong. And none of us can do that. So the law only brings death and destruction. What Paul says in Galatians is that, oh, you foolish Galatians, you've been given the Spirit, but now you want to go back to the law. You want to try to get pleased. You want to please God by following the law. You're not going to be able to do that. None of us can follow the law perfectly. Rest in the Spirit. It is only in the Spirit that God does his work. Now, it's interesting for people who are spiritual but not religious. If you want to talk to a person like this about spirituality and religion, it's very easy, because what you can do is you can find out what law they follow. Because everybody who's spiritual but not religious at some level has a code of ethics by which they follow. And so you can talk to them and you can say, what do you believe a person should do? How should they live their life? And they will say, a person should live their life by this and this and this. And then you can say to them, and do you live your life that way? And they'll think about it and they'll probe. And as you realize, nobody can live even by their own law. It's impossible. Unless you say, well, the law is that there is no law. But then that in itself is a law, is it not? Nobody can follow the law perfectly. It's impossible. And even spiritual but not religious people cannot follow the law perfectly. So if it's not the law, then what is bringing the Spirit into our life? And Paul says in verse 2, let me ask you this. Did you receive the law, the Spirit, by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Hearing with faith. And then he goes down in verse 5. He says, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? It's the second time that's shown up in Galatians. So Paul says that the Spirit comes by hearing with faith. And what is it that we are hearing? It's the good news. It's the good news that Jesus Christ has done everything. That none of us can follow the law perfectly. But that's okay, because Jesus did follow the law perfectly. That's the good news. There's an episode of Gilligan's Island. You guys watched Gilligan's Island growing up? I loved Gilligan's Island growing up. One of my favorite shows. And there was an episode on Gilligan's Island where there was a Japanese sailor who was in a one-person U-boat, and he comes onto the island, and he still believes that they're in World War II, because nobody told him that the war is over. And so he captures everybody, and then the skipper and Gilligan, you know, I won't spoil it for you, but, well, it's hard to not spoil Gilligan's Island. But anyway, they finally get out of this mess. But the guy had never heard. The guy had never heard that the war was over. He'd never heard that good news, that the war is over. Folks, we can hear, we have heard the good news. The war is over. The good news that's in Galatians is that the battle has been won already by Christ on the cross. It is incredibly good news. It is the best news of all. It's news that's worth shouting from the mountaintops. Because, my friends, there are people in your life that need to hear this good news. There are people in your life that are trying to live by their own code of conduct. They're trying to live a good life. They're trying to be spiritual but not religious. They're trying to figure out what God has to say for them. And they're trying to figure it out. But as they pursue the law, as they pursue their own righteousness, they only dig their hole deeper and deeper and deeper. They need somebody like you and me to tell them that the battle has been won. That the battle by Jesus Christ has been won for all of us. That's the good news. That's what Paul says. That's the good news. It's already happened. It's already been accomplished. That's the good word that we have to hear. That's the good word that we have to share. But it's not just that. He says, hearing by faith. Hearing by faith. You see, when that Japanese soldier is on the island, Gilligan and the skipper kept telling him the war's over, but he won't believe it. At some point, you have to hear the good news, but then you have to believe it. The faith has to come inside deep that God has won the battle for you, and that belief has to penetrate deeply into your life. And how does that happen? Well, Luther actually would say this. He would say that every day we must remember our baptism. And baptism is nothing else than slaying the old Adam and the resurrection of the new creature, both of which must continue in us our whole life long. Thus, a Christian life is nothing else than a daily baptism, begun once and continuing ever after. For we must keep it without ceasing, always purging whatever pertains to the old Adam, so that whatever belongs to the new creature may come forth. And what is the old creature? It is what is born in us from Adam. Irascible, spiteful, envious, unchaste, greedy, lazy, proud, yes, and unbelieving. It is beset with all vices, and by nature has nothing good in it. But now we enter into Christ's kingdom. This corruption must daily decrease, so that the longer we live, the more gentle, patient, and meek we become, and the more we break away from greed, hatred, envy, and pride. That's what we're called to. Have the gospel penetrate deeply into our lives so that we remember that we are his redeemed, that he's won the victory for us already at his death on the cross. That's what we celebrate. The Lord of the Rings trilogy is one of my favorite books. And there's this part of the book in the Lord of the Rings where Bilbo Baggins gives Frodo this coat of mail. It's called Mithril. And I don't know if you know what Mithril is, but it's stronger than silver and gold, but it's lighter than silver and gold. And Frodo really doesn't know what to do with it, so he puts it on under his coat, and he's kind of going off on his adventure. And they're going along, and pretty soon they're having a campfire, and they're talking and all that. And one of Frodo's friends says, you know, of all the things that Bilbo Baggins ever had, the most valuable was this coat of mail, this mithril. Because mithril is so valuable. And somebody had actually taken and made a coat of mail out of this mithril. And it would probably be worth more than all the lands of all the entire Middle Earth. It was so valuable. And Frodo can't believe it, that he's sitting here wearing this thing all alone. He doesn't even remember, he doesn't even know how valuable it is. And yet it's more valuable than all of the lands put together. And he kind of tugs at his coat and he says, wow, my friends, you've been given something more valuable than all the lands in the world. You've been given redemption and grace and God's Spirit in your life. May God grant you the grace to share that Spirit and that love and that grace with all those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.